Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
The Giants lose 7-1 to the Cardinals, so the misery extended 14-11. Fourth in the National League West, as everybody in the National League West seems to be pretty good. The Dodgers are the Dodgers. Padres with Bob Melvin are better. Even the Diamondbacks are pretty good as well. Let's get into all of it and an interesting game with the Mets last night that I'm sure will be brought up with Gabe Kapler today. Let's discuss it all with a good friend, Andrew Bagley, who joins us every Friday from The Athletic. How are you?
Hello, good. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. Before we get into it, how much discussion do you think will be from the Mets coming back last night against the Phillies with the 7 and the 9th? Does that kind of justify what the Giants are doing?
Yeah, I wonder where you were going with that. Like, what happened? I know the Mets came back, but now I get the connection you're making there. Yeah, you know, I think that everyone's kind of understanding where the Giants are coming from on this, and you know, it's not the first time a team's come back from a deficit that large in the late innings. So you know, and I just thought the proof was kind of in the game that they had to make up in Milwaukee, and I think we've probably talked about this. You know, the Giants earlier in that road trip had won fairly comfortably in Washington, was able to sit down a lot of their leverage relievers, and the Brewers had a good week leading into it too, but they had won a lot of close games and had to use Josh Hader, I think, five times in the previous 7 days, and they didn't have Hader or Devin Williams, and the Giants did have all their leverage relievers, and that made a difference, and the Giants won a ball game that way. So I think we saw that play out, and it makes sense, but right now the last thing the Giants are thinking about is pouring it on an opponent and playing hard to the end of a game that they're leading. I think they would just love to be back in that position again, because things have obviously changed quite a bit over the last week for them.
No, teams are pouring it on them. 9-1 losses, 7-1 losses are outliers, but they're happening here. So last week at this time, you join us every Friday at 11:30. At one point, you cryptically said a little bit of a COVID wave coming. And then later in the show, right when we got off, we got the full details. They shut the clubhouse down, and not good. You know, Yastrzemski was already on the COVID list, and Steven Duggar was on the IL with the oblique, but then Zach Littell, Dominic Leone, Brandon Belt. And you look at the last week, Bags, it's spiraled. I mean, they lost the final game to Oakland, but then lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals, just didn't pitch at all. Even Logan Webb, lose the 2 to the Dodgers, don't score, lose last night and don't score. And they had stretches last year where, you know, they lost 3 in a row to the Dodgers in May 21 through 23, and then had a 4-game losing streak later. But I don't know. This is a bad week right here. Is it strictly all the players that are not playing for them and COVID, or is there something more going on with this baseball team?
Well, I think that it's there's a lot of things going on, but I think it's sort of everything. You look, name a left-handed hitter that they were counting on this year. Brandon Belt, Lamont Wade Jr., Tommy La Stella. Jock Peterson was out with a groin for a few days, right, and may not be 100% right now. I mean, you go down the list, and basically every left-handed hitter that they were counting on has been out. Mike Yastrzemski, you know. So, yeah, that definitely does throw you into a little bit of a fog. You're bringing up, Mike Ford and Pablo and guys that weren't even part of the organization. And you're like, wow, you're just trying to get through it. And that's really what Alex Wood said after he started the last game in L.A. is, we've just got to try to tread water until we get some people back. And you think about it, and that's not a controversial statement at all. I mean, every team has to tread water at certain points in the season, especially when they're at a talent deficit or dealing with injuries or a tough portion of the schedule. But it's just been so long since you thought of the Giants having to just sort of gut through a portion of a schedule. They just, you know, were treated everybody as a speed bump last year, and just had no issues ever, you know, getting in a funk where they were losing, you know, 6 out of 7. So they're challenged right now, and I think it's just a reminder that every year is a new year and presents new challenges. And we're dealing with a whole new, different offensive environment that everyone's trying to figure out right now. I think there's probably I don't think there's a lot of panic, but they know that, you know, they're in a little bit of a fog right now, and they got to pull out of it.
Andrew Bagley is joining us, Cardinals and Giants tonight, and then Buster Posey Day tomorrow here on the Sports Leader. You know, you tweeted out something that I thought was really interesting, and it was obvious, but then you had to think about it for a second, which you did, which is Alex Wood said, you can't win 107 games every single year. I mean, it's such an absurd number. And the other reason why they can't is because, look, it's very early in the season, but this division's really good. And it's just, you know, the Padres, I think a lot of it goes to Bob Melvin. The Rockies, we'll see if they can keep it up. But Arizona's not the pushover that they were. So within this division, and they've got a lot of those coming up against the Rockies this month, it's just not going to be easy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the Dodgers are doing what the Dodgers do. They're 16-7, but you know, the back end of that division was just, I mean, the Giants just clobbered the Rockies and Diamondbacks last year, and obviously haven't really seen either team yet, but you know, the Diamondbacks are sitting there at 13-13, and they can pitch a little bit. You know, they've got some pitching that they can throw at you, and they're not even really hitting the ball very well, but they've definitely been much more competitive than I think people thought, at least early on. And the Rockies obviously sitting there 15-10. They've got some good offensive pieces, and they're swinging the bats better than they were last year. I mean, Connor Joe's been really good for them. Randall Grichuk's been really good for them. So, yeah, I totally agree. It's not as much of a pushover division in terms of the back half, and you know, it's sort of shifted a little bit. I mean, the real pushovers in the National League now are the Reds and the Nationals, and so, you know, when you're dealing with three wild cards, you know, you don't know which divisions are going to come out of, but it's going to be a little tougher to imagine multiple wildcard teams coming out of the West potentially, just because it's going to be hard to pile up wins against the bottom half of that division.
Giants were able to push over the Nationals when they went to Washington, but as we mentioned last weekend, and it just was ugly at times, they were not. And we detailed the COVID situation, but there are three injuries, Bags, that I want to get your thoughts on that are lingering from last year. Evan Longoria gets drilled by a pitch August 18th by Edwin Diaz of the Mets, finger injury. It's still causing him problems now, and it's why he had the surgery. Tommy La Stella had the Achilles at the end of last year, certainly marginalized his production and availability even into the postseason. He's still, and that's a different injury, but still lingering into this year. Anthony DeSclafani covers first base, jams his ankle. Shuts it down, comes back, and now he's back on the IL again with a lingering issue from the ankle. This was last year. How much is this a product of a 99-day lockout and none of these three athletes being able to interact with Dave Greschner and the training staff? I mean, why are these injuries that were certainly some degree significant with Tommy and the Achilles, but the other one should have been handled? Why are they costing these players so much time this year?
Yeah, I agree. The optics are not good on it, and they might not be related at all. And in DeSclafani's case, he thought he was fine when he came to camp, and then just sort of tweaked it and re-aggravated it. You know, with Longoria, you think, well, gosh, isn't he swinging a bat in the offseason a little bit? Wouldn't he know that it's not quite right? And, you know, maybe there is some still delusion that you have that, oh, you know, it'll work itself out. It should be healed by now. And then it turns out it's not. With La Stella, it's just the post-surgery pain and getting him to a point where he can come back and play, you know, second base 2 days in a row. We haven't gotten to that point with him yet. And obviously he's not going to be running very well and not going to have a lot of range, but they've got the DH and gosh, right now in this offensive environment, Tommy La Stella, a line drive hitter who doesn't strike out, could be a really valuable offensive player, really heighten his offensive value. You know, given that, you know, players aren't beating the shift and they aren't necessarily hitting homers over the shift anymore. So, you know, getting him back is going to be key, but you're right. It's the optics aren't good. You think, well, gosh, she should have been taken care of. I really haven't asked the question of, you know, hey, did it really make a difference that you couldn't check in with trainers for, you know, those close to 100 days? And that is a really valid point. It's a really good question to ask. And maybe I've talked to Evan Longoria about his finger, and he's confident that it's been addressed and he's going to be fine from this point forward. But yeah, that's a good question. I got to think that probably on some level it did make a difference.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
Andrew Bagley, Jonas, obviously talking Giants, dropped four in a row after the 7-1 loss to the Cardinals in the extended series against the Cardinals coming up this weekend. A couple of significant things. Obviously, Willie Mays is 91 today, and we were talking about it, you know, just growing up, and just even the name Willie Mays was cool. But what are your Willie Mays thoughts, Willie Mays memories? I know you've interacted with him. Just give us your thoughts on Willie Mays, who turns 91 today.
Oh, man. I mean, for me, the cool thing is when a new player comes over to the Giants and Willie is sitting in at his table in the clubhouse in spring training, and he didn't make it, you know, this past spring. I don't think he makes it to nearly as many games anymore. You know, you get to be 91. It's hard to get from point A to point B. But you would just see somebody come in there. It could be a rookie. It could be someone like, I remember when Cameron Maben was a Giant briefly in the spring, you know, or Jimmy Rollins. And they just gravitate to him. And there's always some people react by being almost afraid to approach him, you know, and some people are just dive right in and start jawing with him. And he jaws right back. And it's just like the greatest living player. There he is right there, you know, and they'll talk about, you know, what, you know, how he played center field or how he positioned himself or the ballparks he played in. And to see kind of how other people experience Willie Mays and the connection that they try to form with him when, you know, he grew up a generation or two later and didn't get the chance to see him play. I that's one of my greatest regrets. I wish I could hop in a time machine and go back and see Willie play. And someone asked me, if you could go watch, you know, one game in like the 1960s, what would you pick? I would probably pick one of the All-Star games because then I get to see everybody. And because that's when Willie would play the whole game. Hank Aaron would play the whole game, you know. So I would love to have that the treat maybe. And maybe there's something on YouTube I can watch and get a flavor for it. But yeah, I mean, he's just what can you say? He's the greatest complete ball player who's ever played the game, I think. And he's still with us, which is a blessing.
I do it all the time. YouTube's got a lot of the great games. I don't know if you've watched the 1971 All-Star game at Tiger Stadium, one of the best games ever as far as a galaxy of stars and future Hall of Famers. But Mays leads off that game against Vita Blue at the height of his powers when Vita was the AL MVP and the Cy Young Award winner, and it was just fastball, see if you can hit it. And I agree with you. I couldn't watch Mays in his prime, but whenever I did watch him at the end of his career, it was either in the World Series against the Mets for the Mets in 72 against the A's of the World Series and the All-Star games. But so today is a big day, obviously. Willie's 91st. Tomorrow is Buster Posey Day. And we do want to get your thoughts on, because you covered him, you know, the biggest moments of Buster Posey's career. But Logan Webb, it's somewhat fitting that Logan Webb is going to pitch tomorrow. But he pitched last Saturday and gave up 11 hits, and we thought maybe he'd work, you know, last night or maybe today. Last night they went bullpen game. He's not going to pitch tonight. Alex Cobb is. His first two starts were really good, Bags. His last three have not been nearly as good. And Cap was saying he thought he'd need a little extra time. What's going on with Logan Webb right now?
Yeah, you know, I think he just doesn't have the finish on his pitches right now. And he's still getting ground balls. He's still got the best ground ball rate in the major leagues last I looked. So it's not like they're, you know, tattooing baseballs to the gap and over the fence. And his stuff still plays. I mean, he's still, as long as he throws strikes and he get the right kind of contact, you know, it's not like he has to completely reinvent the wheel at this point. But, you know, last year he did have some shoulder tightness and he went on the injured list briefly, and that helped to freshen him up. And then boom, he took off from there. So, you know, everybody deals with some dead arm this point in the season, especially with the spring training that everybody had. So, you know, there may be some of that going on, and there may be just some mechanical tweaks going on. And I think that they, this has always been, you know, really since Gabe Kapler took over, and this has always been a coaching staff that's, you know, we want you at your very, very best. And if you're at 80%, we probably have somebody, because we've got depth, we probably got somebody we can throw out there that is going to, you know, be more effective. And so, you know, they've been very conservative in terms of, you know, not pushing guys on regular rest when they could give them an extra day, or moving them up in the rotation. That's kind of been, you know, the way that they've just thought philosophically about everybody. And everyone knows how important Logan Webb is. I mean, you know, Carlos Rodon's off to a great start, but, you know, it's one of those rotations where they don't really have anybody who's going to throw 200 innings. It's hardly anybody does anymore, right? So if you start losing pitchers, you know, to the injured list, that starts to make you search for innings a little bit after a while. And that means that you're throwing less leverage relievers in there. That means you're probably making suboptimal pitching choices. And I think they realize, hey, we got to make sure we have Logan Webb right and healthy, because, you know, Alex Wood's pitching well, but he's, you know, a six inning pitcher. Carlos Rodon's pitching well, but he's kind of a six inning pitcher. And, you know, when you don't have DeSclafani, who is someone who can go out there and give you length, and Wood is fighting it a little bit, then you start realizing that, well, you know, we're going to get in a point where we're going to be chasing innings, and you don't want to do that. So I think they want to get Logan Webb just feeling confident, feeling healthy again, and probably the extra time they feel that gives them the best chance to do that.
It's our Friday conversation with Extra Bags, Andrew Baggerly from The Athletic. Make sure that you're following. And Reed Knowles, great stuff. Everybody knows what Buster did on the field, but I, in the times that we've had opportunities to talk to him behind the scenes, whether it's, you know, just interviews on the show or something behind the scenes like a fan day or something like that, he's always kind of gives you a little bit more. What were your interactions with him when back in the day you guys could, well, now you're back in the clubhouse, but for a couple of years you weren't. But obviously for many of his years you were able to interact with him in the clubhouse.
You know, one of the things that struck me early about Buster, and this is really early, you know, when I would talk to him one-on-one, you know, I would try to make sure that I ask him things that are thoughtful. He would give a thoughtful answer to a thoughtful question, and he would give a pretty cliched answer to a cliched question. And so, but if you gave him something that made him think, it was interesting to watch his wheels turn. And then he'd come back to you and he'd say, you know, why did you ask that? Or what were you looking for? What was the, you know, he really wanted to understand, you know, how I did my job and what I needed to do my job, and how he could kind of be the best partner to supply that, while also, you know, obviously, you know, not giving anything away, or not, you know, the top priority was to the team, obviously. But, you know, he was invested, I think, in trying to understand, you know, what I needed from him, or what, you know, kind of input I was looking for from him, or insight. And you know, that's, you could tell if he did that with me, you know, he's doing that with everybody on his team, trying to make them better, trying to make them better at their jobs. And that's unique. There aren't many players I've come across who have really just kind of broken down that wall to say, hey, look, this is just me, human being, talking to you, human being. We both have things we're paid to do. You know, let's try to figure out a way we can do that in a way that, you know, is an advantage for both of us, and doesn't put either of us in a position where, you know, we're giving something away here that we shouldn't. But, you know, the other thing about Buster that I really have sort of been struck by is, and he said this a lot at his retirement press conference, is that, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what happened on the baseball field, it didn't change who he was. It didn't change, you know, how he valued himself. You know, so much of competition is ego, and you know, you feel like it's the end of the world when you don't win or come out on top. And you knew that Buster was going to do everything possible to be prepared, you know, to be a good teammate, to do everything he could to prepare his pitcher, to try to win a ball game. But if it didn't work out, and the results will wobble in baseball more than any other sport, really, if it didn't work out, he wasn't going to be devastated by it, because it wasn't going to change how he defined himself. You know, he's a father first. He's a husband first. You know, he's a brother first, and a son first, and a baseball player all after that. So I think that really helped him have that kind of calming influence over the team in all those big, big moments, because, you know, you make it bigger than it is, and you kind of freak yourself out, or you don't have that stability of mood, basically, if you're thinking that your entire self-worth is reliant on whether you win that game or not. And I think that's one of the reasons Buster was so good and so steady and such a good leader for this franchise for so long.
Yeah, that's so well said. He's such a humble superstar, and such a man of substance. That's why when I look back on his career, it's just the whole body of work. It's just the way he got in the crouch and looked at the hitter's feet and the late setup to play off of it. It was just the nuanced element to his game. But he did have some big moments. When his first ever postseason, obviously, to lead the team to a World Series championship, and then 2012 to do it again with the grand slam off of Matt Latos in Cincinnati, and then all the ups and downs to win again in 14, and then the hip problems and reinvent himself. And last year, arguably at the height of his powers, maybe the second best year he ever had, it was 12 MVP and batting championship and World Series year. And the home run that he hit off of Max Scherzer in game one of the playoffs. So for me, it's hard to pick a moment of all the Buster hugs from perfect games and no-hitters and championships. But it's just bigger than anything on field when you think of Buster Posey. But if you had to pick, Bags, one on-field moment that you will forever close your eyes and think of Buster Posey, is there one above all the others?
You know, it's funny because you think some guys have those big moments, Travis Ishikawa, you know, or Pablo hitting three homers. And I think that the big on-field moment is probably the slam off Matt Latos and the dejected reaction from Ryan Hannigan, the Reds catcher, as he watches the ball leave the bat. But I mean, for me, I think probably the first thing I think of if I think of a Buster moment is, you know, the look on his face when the ball's in the air in Kansas City, and he's looking over at Pablo, and he looks over at Bum, and he looks back at Pablo, and he looks back at Bum, and he's just got this look of pure elation on his face, and then he runs out, and obviously the Buster hug comes next to Bumgarner, and when he sneaks up on Timmy for his no-hitter and gives him the hug in San Diego, I think this is what I think the Giants should do, and because we know there's going to be some statuary, right? I think what they should do is have a bunch of Buster hug statues and stick them out somewhere on the promenade or whatever, like five or six of them, where he's hugging Bum and he's hugging Romo and he's hugging Brian Wilson and Timmy. You know, that would be a perfect way to kind of summarize that whole era. Would just be, hey, let's do a statue of every one of the Buster hugs.
That's a great idea. I never thought of that. That'd be awesome. I'd like a statue of just him, and then I could take a picture hugging him, you know, being in a Buster hug. That's what I'd like.
Right.
Because that's what people would do. They would just hug it, then they'd take a ton of pictures of it. Anyway, that's a great idea.
It's interactive.
Yeah, the interactive Buster statue where you can hug him, where you can be in a Buster.
There you
hug.
Go.
That's cool, man.
That would work. Yeah. That would be popular.
Bags, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for the insight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay, have a good weekend. Thanks.
You too.
Thank you, Drew.
That is Andrew Baggerly at Extra Bags. And read him, of course, in The Athletic.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.